All right, so what's been going on? Bring me up to speed.
Well, we've been, the last time we met, of course, you wrote the letter that we enclosed with our letter.
Right.
And sent that out, and it did some good.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. And we've been collecting, it's been coming in little dribbles and drabs, and I think we're down to 6 people maybe that owe us a total of $800.
How many members also, how many landowners also?
49.
You guys are, you're going to raise the curve too high for this sort of thing. Although you can't beat my curve. I got 3 years in a row, 100%. But they know what I do for a living. They all, you know, I make grumblings of different things. And they seem to, they pony up to the bar, so. The big grumbling on top is I'm not going to work on the road anymore, and I do a lot of that myself, so. So the 6, if you do some of the personal, let me see what you got for.
Okay. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Those are the ones we're talking about. The other list are the ones that are paid.
You get some people that don't have land, but they have access to Coon Island, and they park their cars on.
Right. Yep. There's 2 of those.
Yeah, and now do these people own the fee interest, or do they just have a right to park there?
Just a right, I think.
Their deeds have a right of way.
Their island deeds say subject to a right to park your car and access this via such and such. You couldn't catch those, but you might not be able to catch those people via the Title 23 statute that I referenced, because they're not landowners whose properties benefited by that private way directly. Okay, so there was a case a while back about the same thing. What they did out, let me give you an example of what they did out on Great Pond. Hoyts Island's got a whole, if you've ever been out on Hoyts Island in a boat, they got maybe 15, 20 very nice seasonal cottages out there. And they got on the end of Starboard Lane, they have a big piece of property that they built, fixed, done the phosphorus control mitigation and all that stuff. That's owned by a nonprofit association. That nonprofit association is assessed a higher amount by agreement with the Starboard Lane Road Association, because it really is getting a lot of use. That was done voluntarily. So the landowner upon the property where they're parking their cars is really responsible for that. So whether you can collect from those people or another matter. In that same light, the course we've used on my camp road, and it seems to work out okay, is I tell everybody that's a year-round resident that when I send them an assessment for snow plowing, they best be paying it. I also send a note along, and I put a little thing to people that I know aren't year-rounders, but I know are down there every weekend ice fishing and stuff like that, saying, you know, you ought to do your fair share and pay for some of the snow plowing because you're down here all winter. And I don't always get 100% of the amount, but that kind of approach usually will appeal to these people. You know, this is your access. The quality of this road, if you ever go sell your island property, is going to benefit you when it comes to your asking price. And what you ultimately, the first thing people are going to ask is, who takes care of it? Yeah. How's your access? Well, we're on the road. Well, who takes care of that? Not us. We're unwilling to belong, which means we're unwilling to pay.
We have 4 homes on the island, Dan, one of which is paid.
Yeah.
So
you got one out of four.
One out of four.
The three Coon Islands, one here, Mackinac, Canyon. Yeah. And if you approach these people directly, anybody talk to them?
I've approached one, and she said she didn't get her mail, and then I called her and said that I had copies of all the mailings and I would give them to her. And she called me back and said, well, she found hers. So they were discussing what they were going to do about it.
Right. Okay. Are you at the point now where you want me to try to finesse this out of here? I mean, this game can be played like liar's poker, you understand.
I think we're at the point right now where we have drawn names out of the hat and decided what order we can take them in. Because I guess we can only take 3 at a time, unless we want to take the whole group.
When you say take three at a time?
Three in a month, I think.
I think you're limited to three in a month.
Oh, small claims court action?
Yeah.
Let's back up a little bit.
Okay.
In order to go the small claims route and enforce these things by civil action as pursuant to Title 23, then you needed to have done everything in accordance with Title 23, and I don't think you're there yet, are you?
We did have an annual meeting. We did post it.
Posted it, yeah.
However, at the meeting, we didn't allow everybody to vote. Only paid-up members were allowed to vote.
Okay. Is that a problem?
Probably, but that's not the biggest problem. What else did you do? Would you assess everybody equally?
Actually, we had two levels, people with buildings and people with land.
All right. You aren't where you need to be in order to proceed to court, okay? And I'll tell you that right now.
Okay,
the guys down the road over on Three Corner Pond tried to go this. They tried to do it half-ass, and they didn't get there. So let's rehash with Title 23. You have a copy of it? And, no, you don't. You have something else in front of you. What it says is that road assessments are assessed the same way as taxes. How are taxes assessed? Based upon value. You have to take the total of your assessed land and buildings that are accessed by the road, and I think if you do that, you may be able to tie in the islands. Then you need to figure out how much money you need to maintain your road. That's what the commissioner, the nominated commissioner or elected commissioner does. He says, I need $5,000 a year. You figure out whatever mill rate you need out of that total assessment in order to collect $5,000 a year. The guy with the biggest house is going to pay the most. The guy with a piece of land is going to pay the least. But when you add it all up, the way a municipality does its budget, it'll come out to $5,000 if that's your number. Once you do that and you assess everybody disproportionately, then if you, people don't pay, then you can follow the small claims provision and proceed. Absent that, anybody, one of these people that's got the wherewithal just to look in the statute, they'll find it. They'll stumble across it online, and they'll see this, and they're going to go like, they're not doing any of this right. I've only seen, and I think the last time you were here, there's a woman down in Green, Maine, and I'm glad I'm not a neighbor of hers, but God love her, she follows my instructions to the T, and she's gone ahead and done this. The Vermont Road Owners Association, a hotbed of all kinds of small claims actions and everything else like that. The last time she went to small claims court, taking something in her roller's capacity, the judge asked her one question, and it was the end of the case, which was, are you an attorney? They now get this move afoot that if you're not an attorney and you're representing an association, you're unlawfully practicing law, which makes it problematic to even go to small claims court. So what's the message here? Is the $800 worth the aggravation of that you guys as the core group would have to put their head together? You got all these things here, 200, 200, 200, 200, 200, 200. It's terrific. Somebody's paying half of what they ought to, and somebody's paying twice what they ought to, based upon the Title 23 standards. And really, the Title 23 standard, that is the default provision where people haven't agreed to become members, where people don't have a deed requirement that they pay assessments. That's what Title 23 was created for, was to come along and say, you got nothing, you got a private road, and nobody can agree on what to do. Yeah. Then you go that route.
Yeah. Dan, let me tell you what one thing we did this summer at our annual meeting, and you can tell us whether we're right or wrong in doing so. We put this up to a vote to our membership, paid members, and they voted in favor of taking them to court or doing some kind of legal action. Does that
doesn't get you there?
Okay, so
that's all right.
So we could back off of this if we
don't. if to the extent you're recording this, that commentary doesn't want to make it any minutes of this meeting for the reason that you put the fear of God in enough people here, and how you do it, you know. I haven't done it with the association. In order for me to get 100% participation, I said, all I told them, there is a way that I can get you in court, and you know what I do for a living. That's all I said. I just told you what the way is, and it's a pain in the ass. It really is. I the 30 or 40 road owners associations that I represent, the only one doing it. I know a couple have tried and done it incorrectly. Dr. Tom Sullivan across the road, if you want to ask him what it's like to go to court and have your hat handed to you, he thought he had it because he was a realtor.
Was that 3 Mile?
Three Corner. Yeah. That's a hotbed of activity.
We do have one problem person that, unfortunately, we notified these three people that we were going to do this action, and he's irate, you might say, and said that, you know, if we do, he's going to fight us, and he's going to, whatever he can do to cost us all the money he can get.
This guy's a real
jerk. 24 carat assholes that my father used.
Well, he was
a dentist.
Yeah.
Well, you can say, listen, we went to the lawyer and we're ready to shell out the bucks, and he said, can't we all get along, just get along, you know, and let's rethink this before we all lawyer up, because we're only talking about a couple hundred dollars here for this, but we're talking about a couple of $1,000 to lawyer up to the bar. Yeah. You know, I mean, I go back and try that course with him rather than have him think that you threaten him idly. Don't back off on the threat. Just basically say, hey, we've been to the lawyer again. It's squared up. And the lawyer said litigation at $180 an hour. Gobble up a lot of money real quick. So, man, you got to fight fire with fire. If you hire a smart-talking lawyer, he needs one, too.
He's got one.
Who's he got?
I don't know, but he's been in court a lot of times.
Has he? Who's the guy we'll recognize the name?
Greg Trask.
Moon Cove Builders.
I've seen that around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just picked up a piece of property when? 2 years ago? Now? It's land that's on, not on the lakeside of our development out there, but on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't not very clear, but that, I don't know how many lots he put together there. Do you?
It's one parcel of 46 acres.
Yeah, it's 46.
He's trying to develop?
Right.
When are we going to put for deed requirements in there for rough maintenance of his private road when he puts it in?
Well, that's half the problem. He owns, I'm going to say, 5/10 of our road. Our road goes a mile and a tenth. He owns the last 5/10.
Does he maintain it?
No, we do.
But that last 5/10 provides access to a number of people, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's the wrong guy to pick the fight with. What do I do? If I have to play the devil's advocate, if Trask comes in and he hires me, the first thing I do is I'll say, well, let's make sure every one of these people has deeded access. Deeds may or may not have it. None of the deeds on my road have deeded access, and I know who owns the fee interest, but the guy's a friend and client of mine, and we keep it that way. You can get into those type of questions. I mean, did you read about the case up in Penobscot County where the guy shut the road down?
No.
He did shut it down. It was up in Hampton, and there was all kinds of excitement over that one. He said, I went to my lawyer. My lawyer says, I own the fee interest in the road, and it's not subject to any right-of-ways in my chain of title, so bongo, it stops. It's like a ditch right at the end of it.
Didn't bring mine. Although mine says that I have a right-of-way over the Young Road, and most of those that we looked at down our end, I live in this half-mile area, and most of those that we looked at all said the same thing.
You got an easement by use anyway. As long as the people that either you or the people that own your property before you and you have owned it for over 20 years, you can't stop it. But you get into those kind of fights where everybody's fighting each other, those are prohibitively expensive. I mean, if you came in cold and I never met you and I said, and you looked at this and said, we got some problems here. People still owe us quite a bit of money. I would look at this and go, wow, you're doing so well. I mean, you're not all retired, are you?
No.
Yeah. Just, he's the only one that...
We got one of the youngsters left here.
Yeah.
He's working pretty hard on it.
these things can really detract from the quality of life, if you let yourself. I mean, my guess is with a little bit of politics, you could probably bring a few more of these under the flock, particularly if Netics are going to pay. There's one there. It seems like our correspondence with these people are getting you where you need to be.
I'm going to say there's four people that he's got under his wing saying, screw him, we're not going to pay.
Oh, Trask.
Yeah. That Pelletier lady is one of his.
And he's talked to a couple of the island people, too.
And he's, yeah.
Although it sounds like island people are, could be a wash anyway. But.
You don't have an easy, it's just, there's only one solution to it. And I can make run you off another copy of the statute if you want, and you look at it and go. It's just, you know, we've, and I've been down the legislature twice to try to improve that statute, and they just, well, what's the matter with it? It's got no teeth. It's completely unworkable. But the Judiciary Committee comes on and says, if you have property, and you're going to be assessed something like a tax, it needs to be tied to the value of your property. Doing it the way we're doing it here, nothing to do with that whatsoever.
How many road associations do it that way?
The way you guys are doing it? Probably 99.9%, 99.9% of them. And the percentage, if I tell people if you're getting 75% of them voluntarily, then count your blessings. I know it's aggravating to have some deadbeats out there, but there's going to be some in every... And if you look in the town taxes, probably half these people don't pay their taxes on time either. That's the people that just don't do that.
One question that I have is... I have 5 parcels in my property.
Mm-hmm.
Did that be divided by 5 pieces?
I've seen it done both ways. We don't. We have a couple of landowners down our way that have multiple parcels, but we don't assess them multiply. We just collect the same amount from everybody. Again, there's quite a bit of benefit to keeping it simple.
As far as the court's concerned, does it make a difference to them how you assess it? As long as it's based on value?
It would all be based on value. I mean, if you went and followed Title 23, you would take whatever the town has assessed your value at. It would be part of that $5,000, depending on what percentage of the assessed value you have. That's your percentage. You pay that percentage of $5,000. That's how a mill rate works.
So it has to be done that way to win in court, then?
It has to be won that way, not just a winning court, and it has to be that way to get through the courtroom door. If you could get people to sign subscription agreements, that's a whole other thing. Now, out of these people that are paying here, as you said to them, you know what would be helpful? If we all sign an agreement, we record it in the Registry of Deeds that says we agree to pay, and we agree only to sell our property to people who sign another subscription agreement so they continue paying, so this goes on for forever. And they say, well, why do we need to do that? We've always paid every year. You say to them, well, you know, the banks get a little fussier, and they are. They come out there, and they want more money on your camp, something like that. They're going to want to see something in place. And you say, well, who takes care of the road? Well, we have an association. Well, you've got a membership card? You know, the subscription agreement provides your membership card, is your membership card in effect. That might be something that some of these non-paying, after you get everybody else, you say, hey, 40 of your neighbors have these things recorded in the Registry of Deeds, and it's something that they can go to the bank with, and something that answers any question to a prospective purchaser. If somebody comes from out of state and wants to buy these things, they want to see something like that. They expect to see it. Everything out of state's already in a subdivision. There's rules, there's regulations, there's bylaws, there's deed provisions that say you have to pay. Those of us out here in Maine, this stuff is just catching on now.
So. I would almost think it, I know it doesn't, but I would almost think it would be handled like a condo association. Pay like a condo fee.
Yeah, it certainly can be. It can certainly be set up that way. Probably, I don't know if you folks followed all the controversy with the Terry Belane people over in China. The town of China via the China Region Lakes Alliance, which I founded many moons ago. I objected a little bit to the way they approached this, but they said they got such a bad problem that people can't get in and out of there for a couple of weeks. The people with regular cars can't get in and out, and go, dah, every camp road. you guys must have a swill hole or two where you can occasionally lose a Saab or something in it. But they squawk so much. And then I set up a nonprofit corporation, and I went to their organizational meeting with these subscription agreements in place and got half of them the first day. Some of them wanted their own attorneys to look at them. And then the people that signed theirs started going up, not ganging up on people, but paying them visits and saying, hey, you know, this really benefits your property. And they eventually got about 90% of them to sign subscription agreements. The rest of them had to sign some agreements anyway because they ended up paving the whole damn road. China Region Lake Alliance kicked in $30,000. I wasn't too happy about that, but I suppose it wasn't a bad use of money. No, that's one approach that you might take. The people might feel a little more pressure, but you know, when you get a guy like, I could just picture the Gregory Trask and Mr. Redneck, you know, good old boy from Maine. I don't want to play in your club. He's never going to sign anything. He's probably never going to pay. So,
you know, interestingly, he has the most to gain from a decent road.
Because he's got the most property.
Besides that, he's the last house on the road, so he has to drive farther down that road than anybody.
I feel your aggravation because I've gone around and around with a few people, and I'm very fortunate to have the participation we have now.
I have a question. It doesn't sound like we're going to be able to do what we want to do here, but I have a question regarding this gentleman and liability for trees. You know, we have two situations that have happened. A tree that belongs to him or belonged to him fell in the road.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it his responsibility to remove that tree or the road association's? And as the road commissioner, I don't mind removing the tree, mm-hmm. but I want to know who's ultimately responsible for that tree.
Well, our position's always been that if we incur any costs like we did during the ice storm, we did most of it ourselves, but we ended up piling it up, and we ended up having Dewey Baker come off and grab the piles and take them off to wherever he burned all that stuff. That was an expense that the whole association needed to bear. It was part of your operating expenses. But in terms of taking it, you know, removing the tree from the road, who was the first one out there with a tractor and a chainsaw?
Okay. Second tree. This was a huge tree that was right on the edge of the road. The city said you have 3 years to remove the tree. 2 years ago, they said you have 3 years to remove the tree or we won't plow down your road. Now, it turns out that probably part of that tree belonged to him and part of it belonged to somebody else. But at the time, he thought it was all his. And if it had been, did we have the right to take that tree down?
You have an easement. Okay, here's the magic. Here's the answer to that question. If you have an easement to go through the property, that easement is for ingress and egress and for installation of all necessary utilities and to do maintenance so that the easement is effectual. So if you got a tree that's in the way and you can't get in and out of there, it's providing a clear and present danger, then you can take it down. But each one of those cases stands on its own legs. And there's a lot of bad feelings and I get a lot of calls on that sort of thing when somebody's saying, they're taking the tree down and they say it's interfering and I think it's a shade tree and it's going to, more and more people are going to be able to peer into my yard and that sort of thing. Mm. You got good neighbors, you say, hey, we're taking the tree down. You know, if you got a problem with it, let me know right now if it's coming down before it falls down. If you folks had the benefit of Asplin coming down and cleaning your lines, if you had
right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They'll solve a lot of those issues for you. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Add a little bit of a tip and maybe an occasional can of beer, they'll take down more.
This was like
that's off the record.
This was like a 140-foot pine. This was
big boys, yeah.
He wasn't too happy about that.
question of trying to get a lien put on instead of small claims court. Is that any different?
No, because they changed it. With the statute set up until 3 years ago was that you could claim a lien for unpaid assessments, but it didn't say how you could go about it. And what happened was there was a case, the statute says, they will be assessed and collected in the same manner as taxes. Town puts a lien on the property. They don't have to go to small claims court or anything. So somebody put a lien on the property. 18 months went by, and the road commissioner says, that's it. We own your property. And the people said no. So the Road Association, the commissioner took these people to court, district court. The judge goes, I can't find any flaw in this reasoning whatsoever. I think the road commissioner owns your property. Free and clear of the mortgage. Well, then the banking association got involved. Because the banks representatives in towns now required to notify. Town needs to go to the registry every year and check you, make sure you don't have a mortgage. If you get a lien on your property and it's going to ripen by automatic foreclosure in 18 months, once it's been on there for 18 months, the town acquires it. And they acquire it free and clear of anything else that's on there, which would be a first mortgage. So now the towns have to notify your banks if there's a tax lien. The analysis the court said in overturning a district court judge's decision which said the commissioner owned the property for unpaid road assessments was that no way a road commissioner is going to be able to follow all the little nuances of Maine's automatic foreclosure law that cities enjoy. So they stopped that. They said, all right, scratch collection by lien. And said, now it says you can collect it by civil action, which makes you have to go to court unless the defendant non-paying landowner gives them the right to come and challenge the whole thing.
So it sounds like the lien is out then, really.
There's no involuntary lien available to you anymore. It was 3 years ago. It was available to you 3 years ago, but
See, Trask has all these pieces of property
right.
that he wants to develop.
Right.
It'd be great to put a lien on that 46-acre parcel.
Now, the time to get him is when he's in the approval process. One of the standard criteria for subdivision approval is that the declarant has to show that he's got not only a good right and title, but he also needs to show that he's got the financial capacity to do what he has. And every one of these people is going to sign something that says he doesn't have the financial capacity to pay a lousy $200 a year for his share of the road dues. We don't think he's got it. And the planning board could knock him down on that one criteria alone. That's what you do with people like this. That all of a sudden come out of the woodwork. And they will line up. You won't have any problem lining up. Because people see this stuff and they say, well, that son of a bitch is driving a brand new 2007 one-ton dually and he can't afford to pay a lousy $200.
The thing we're faced with, I think, is people see that these six or seven people aren't paying and say, I'm not going to pay. They're not paying. Why should I pay?
As long as the rest of the paying members get a sense that you've continued to approach these people and trying to get them to appreciate how important it is for the condition of the road and the value of their property to pay, they'll keep paying. I've never seen anybody go backwards. I understand what you're thinking. They say, well, they're leaving these people alone. We don't want to leave them alone. You can write a pretty well standard letter to these people and say, look, everybody else is paying. Here's the benefit of remember, every $200 you put in there is a load of gravel. The more gravel, the better the road is. The better the road is, the more value your property is. The easier it is for you to get in and out of there. The more attractive it'll be to a prospective purchaser. Or to your heirs. If you die, you son of a bitch.
These five people, say, is there a problem? Say, if we did write a letter to those that have paid, can those names be mentioned?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not libel involved or anything like that?
No, it's fact.
Fact, okay, beautiful.
Yeah, you said it just like this. This is how you do it. Or if you call them inactive voters, you...
Deadbeats instead, huh?
Freeloaders?
Well, we show paid and old. You know, I mean...
Yeah, that's what we do, too.
That's pretty much what you have there.
Well, it was funny, at our meeting last summer, our annual meeting, came up, this Greg Trask and one of these other guys on the island was at the meeting, and one of them was the other guy, Gagnon. He gets up and he resented being called a deadbeat. Well, I don't know who called him a deadbeat.
You're looking at me,
I'm a lawyer. So another fellow, an old timer, down in front of the room, he turns around and says, that's what you are, isn't it?
There you go.
Oh, that was funny.
So what are you suggesting then?
If I'm your teacher, I've got you in an A- on this right now. And the only reason I get you an A minus and not an A is because, like most people, you're not going to get it. It's really hard to get them all, but you sure have made some great groundwork here.
This may not be ethical, but he's breaking an ordinance. I mean, should we suggest that he not do that, or he pays $200, or?
No, not, you don't want to approach it that way.
Okay.
That's blackmail.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, that's you asked the question, I'll give you the answers. That's not the right way to apply. The right way to do this is to gang up on them. And not so much mob rule, but time to time, if you know, there's got to be somebody on this paying list that at least waves to him when he drives by.
There are two or three that are very good friends that have talked to him.
Yeah.
He just won't budge.
Yeah, Finnegan and...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's just...
Well, then forget him. You know?
That's too bad. There's nobody on that list would like to have.
Well, I understand. I assume that the three that you had chosen, that he was number uno. So,
he has to be number one.
Yeah.
We were going to take him in the order that we had picked. And Jack picked him third.
Yeah.
So
he's third out of the hat.
When he found out, he said, I want to be number one.
Yeah, he's relishing this fight to be.
He lives his life in contention. I mean, he lives for confrontational situations. He really does. I mean,
does he like spending money on lawyers?
No, he doesn't like to do that, I don't think.
I mean, I can write you a letter that basically says, it's nice seeing you all. I just want to repeat what my presently hourly rate is for litigation of this sort. Note to defining what it is, litigation of any sort for that matter. And even district court litigation for small sums of money can result in $2,000 or $3,000 of attorney's fees in a blink of an eye. And I would hate to see the association incur those sort of expenses in litigation that could probably be avoided if cooler heads could prevail on both sides. Show them that if you want to. I write a lot of letters sometimes that I tell people, when you get it, you show it to your neighbor, you show it to your ex-boss or whatever, just to put a thought out there.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be much more than that. But.
We sent your last letter.
Yeah.
Went right with the letter we were sending.
Yep. No, I fully intended for you to do that. That does any good or not.
I think it
may because you're back here. You're back here for a second time, you know. And
well, we did shrink that list out a bit.
You've done it. Yeah, you've done it very well.
Five or
six. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably most of them the result of your letter.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
How much of a job is it to have an easement?
About impossible.
This guy would do that if possible.
Yeah. In fact, I heard him say, I wish the hell I'd never signed that easement.
Can't get it back. You have to sign off to get it. You'd have to give it up. What do you think? You want to try one more? Are you about that? You got any mailings that you need? Is this about ready to go out? Is it kind of a treasurer's report, or have you already sent this out?
Well, that was more for your benefit.
Yeah.
I can... Print one up, right? That's not a problem.
Well, one of those has never gone out to the general membership, has it?
Yeah, well, right.
It hasn't?
Well, the meeting we had it.
I think
The meeting they passed them out.
They
had
them.
Maybe way back when.
Non-payers?
Yeah, that was July.
Was that at the annual meeting?
Yeah, I know we did it at the meeting. We had the payers and the non-payers.
Because this is, because we presented to the membership the fact that we had these people, what do you want to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
And they voted.
Yeah, you may be, and I don't think it's a horrible thing or a bad situation. You may have already backed yourself a little bit into a corner in terms of where you go from there. The membership said, go get them. Now you're in here seeing me, and I'm telling you that you can't go get them on the one hand. If you could go get them, I can tell you what it would cost without saying you can go get them.
Mm-hmm.
If you think that's too disingenuous, I won't send you something like that. But.
That was the last visit came as a result of that meeting.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
you're really not in bad shape. I hate to keep telling you that, but my guess is with a little effort, with aside from great drafts, my guess is with a little effort, you maybe bang off another three or four of these, and then you get an A. That's just it is a problem that exists every road association there. Just got to be one or two assholes.
Yeah.
Every road association's got them, and it irritates a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I quietly tell people, those are the people that they're going too fast, rather than give them the slowdown sign, give them a finger. I may sound a little rough around the edges in that regard, but hey, these are people that are rough around the edges by not.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the people when they drive off the road. I don't get my chain out, pull them out.
When we have our next annual meeting, should everybody be allowed to vote? Every property owner?
Whether they're paid or not.
I think so. What are they going to say? No, we don't want to pay any money this year?
Well, it's really a moot point anyway.
What kind of votes did you have?
25-3 on the last vote.
Yeah.
People that were there.
Yeah. Well, you're not following the statute anyway, so if your protocol is to just let participating parties vote, so be it. Maybe you'll catch one or two more that want to be able to vote.
Our bylaws say that. I mean, whether it be legal or not, that's what our bylaws say, that only those members in good standing can have the right to vote.
Yeah. The bylaws and corporation say that anybody that's a landowner is a member. But I mean, you say differently. That's so be it. I mean, it's good to have some bylaws. It gives an element of legitimacy to the organization. I tell people, they say, "What are we getting with this?" Well, you may be protecting if you get a nonprofit corporation, and something happens on the road, you may be providing an element of resistance to the Joe Bornsteins of the world that are out to sue everybody.
Should we let you look over our bylaws and see if there's anything in there that shouldn't be?
Not a good use of your okay. money, I don't think.
Okay.
If you want to spend some money on me, have me come to your next meeting. Maybe Danny. I'll be a lawyer on the one hand, and they may hear asshole every so often, but then I've had awful good luck going to meetings. I went to one at Litchfield a while back. I couldn't believe how many people were there and how ornery some of these folks were, and I had a ball.
What might the cost be for that, Dan?
It's my hourly rate.
Okay.
So it may be something I can do it in one or two capacities. I can run the meeting for you, which I would prefer not to, because I don't think you need to have me run your meeting, but I can be there sitting right next to who's ever doing it and answer legal questions. I'd also bring the perspective of having lived on a private road for 28 odd years and representing so many road owners associations. I know what type of issues come up.
That would be our annual meeting in July.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd have a meeting anytime, but there'd be quite a few we wouldn't get, the ones that live in Massachusetts and so on. But if they know ahead of time.
Weekend? You were on a weekend?
No, I don't think it was. It was a weeknight.
A weeknight, terrific.
Yeah.
I'm out weeknights all the time.
Yeah, no, this was weeknight. I'm sorry.
That might not be a bad idea.
What about the letter?
The letter would basically discuss, just indicate that nice to see you guys again, and I understand that you're looking at your thing. We're doing, had a very good participation. You have still a few stragglers. Just to reiterate that my hourly rate is X, and that includes litigation. Even a district court action could involve a couple thousand dollars of attorney's fees in a real hurry. It'd be too bad for you or some of the landowners out there to have to incur that expense to trying to prove a point. I think that would be the language I would use.
Mm-hmm.
Wait your further direction, something along those lines. At least they know you've come and talked to me.
Yeah.
I know your directions. I pointed you in the right direction. You want something like that?
I do. I don't know how.
Yeah, well, who am I sending it to? Who's president?
I am. I guess that's probably why I want it.
Let's do it.
Is that okay, guys? I don't want
to come back to you. You'll get to hear it. You'll get to okay it right now. The magic of dictating equipment. The main rules of civil Okay, guys.
Okay, down with the main rules of civil procedure. I want you to get in the Young Road Association, I want you to get another letter from Ron Yuka. Young Road property owners. Dear Ron, it's nice meeting with you, and are you guys the board of directors?
Yes.
Are you the entire board of directors?
No, we're missing two.
Okay, and the other members of your board of directors on November 15th, 7th. It looks to me like you're making some improvement in terms of the percent of participation. And it also appears that you have a few landowners who still seem to be reluctant in terms of participation, period of paragraph. As we discussed, civil litigation is rather expensive. And at the hourly rate of $180 an hour, it would not be unusual for even a district court matter to involve a couple of thousand dollars of legal expense, both to the association and to non-participating. I think these landowners should approach it again before the parties that will benefit will be the attorneys. Paragraph.
I don't know. I like what's there so far.
Yeah.
Please advise whether or not it would be necessary for me to create the paragraph. Please advise whether or not you'll need any additional. That leaves a threat out there.
Yep.
Okay.
Beautiful.
And,
yes.
You could hang on to this. I think this is real good.